So we ask your patience, inshallah, for a minute. We have to backtrack to a quick question that may not be important in itself. However, it does give some historical background that is vital to understanding the current nexus and the crossroads that we're at. Nexus of this path. Namely, the question of tawassul to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you're all familiar with the hadith, doubtless, because of the celebrity that it's attained through controversy. A hadith that was related with a rigorously authenticated sahih chain of transmission in Tirmidhi Sunan. It was declared sahih by no less than 15 of the Huffaz of Islam, the greatest experts of hadith, those who had memorized 100,000 chains of transmission or more. Some of them half a million hadiths, actually. And they all said it was sahih. He said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, he says, I don't have anybody to lead me to the masjid. He's talking about through the mud and through the ether in the streets, horses going up and down the street, camels going up and down the street, people running their sheep up and down the street, and the person having to cross this irrigation ditches for the palm trees and so forth. How to get to the masjid if one is blind. He says, I don't have anybody to lead me. And I can put my hand on their shoulder and they can take me to the masjid. He says, do you find any dispensation for me to pray at home? And the Prophet said, no. Guidance for us about the tremendousness of the importance of going to the masjid to prayer. He said, no. He will make a dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restores my eyesight. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't make a dua for him to restore his eyesight. But he rather said, he says, go take off and make wudu, make your ablutions, and then pray two rak'ats. And say the following dua. Allahumma, inni asalaka wa atawajjuhu ilayka bi nabi al-Rahman. O Allah, verily, I ask you, and I turn to you through our prophets, in some riwayas, my prophet, the prophet of mercy. Ya Muhammadu, O Muhammad, I turn to my Lord through you. The yaqdi Allahu hajati, that my Lord, that Allah may fulfill my needs. And so, this was the hadith about the Salat al-Hajjah, that when someone has a need, that one turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet, and one calls on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he taught the blind man. The blind man's sight returned to him. We're all probably familiar with the hadith. And people were practicing this tawassul through an intermediary, turning to Allah through an intermediary. For a period of the first 100 years of Islam, the hadith was well known. Didn't take Tirmidhi until it appeared. The better it was, his sheikhs had it from the sheikhs who had it back from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second 100 years of Islam, the third 100 years of Islam, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the times of the greatest scholars of Islam. Ibn Ma'in, what did he say? He said, I've written 1,000,000 hadiths, alfa hadithin, with my hands. I've written 1,000,000 prophetic hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anybody can say that today, Shaykh Bukhari, Ibn Ma'in. All of the great ulama. Until 7 centuries later, a man, even Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the earliest of the muhaddithin, one of the greatest, memorized hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hadiths. He wrote a letter that is fully authenticated, that is sahih, to his top student in Marudi, advising him, Kitab al-Nusuk, it was a book about the nusuk of the Hajj and the Umrah, advising him to make tawassul through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nawawi likewise of the Shafi'iyya wrote in his Sharh al-Muhaddab and in his Kitab al-Adhkar that it's recommended to make tawassul to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, what's Muhammad going to do about it? He's dead. The answer is in another Sahih hadith that was related by Bazar, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Mashar, he says, O believers, he said, my lifetime is better for you and my death time is better for you. He says, when I'm alive, you can ask me and I answer your questions, and when my death time is better, I will be shown your works. And if I find something good, I will say Alhamdulillah, and if I find something bad, I'll say Astaghfirullah. That's forgiveness for us. And so a person's works, a person's words are part of his works. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing our works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apprises him of what we're doing and what we're saying. In another hadith, when we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhun nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in the salat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns the salam. So 700 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man from Syria said, yeah, I realized that my imam, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, has made the wasl. He says, however, he said, this is actually bid'ah, because the Prophet's not alive anymore. And he contradicted all of the ulama that were prior to him. Because when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wudu didn't change a bit. The wudu that the Prophet taught us was the same wudu that remained in Islam and will remain until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The salat didn't change a bit after the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hajj didn't change a bit. The zakat didn't change a bit. Nothing changed when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single thing that he taught and he made a sunnah and that he taught to people when he was alive were also a sunnah after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, well, this is different. So they said, well, how is it different? And he didn't make a convincing reply, and so it was completely ignored. He was completely ignored. His name was Ibn Taymiyyah. He didn't say it was shirk, and he didn't say it was kufr. He said it was a bid'ah. You shouldn't do it. Nobody agreed with him except his student. Even Rajab al-Hanbali, one of the great Hanbali ulama, also said that tawassul should be done. Four and a quarter centuries later, in a backwater in Saudi Arabia, there was born an individual where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ha inna fitnata hauna." A man who studied with Sulaiman al-Kurdi, one of the Shafi'i ulama of Medina, who he said about him, he said, "This person will make much misguidance." And whose even his own brother warned against him. What was his brother's name? Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Wahhab. In other words, Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab and Najdi, this individual. He said, no, since all the previous 11 centuries of ulama, none of them got it straight, but I got it straight. This is shirk, making tawassul through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, he lived until about 1799, made a great deal of fitna. He came to Al-Saud, the House of Saud, and he says, you people will have the government, and I will take care of the religious business. He made this pact. And they backed him and aided him. And they actually, the Wahhabis, as they were came to be known, and with perfect right, because someone who adopts the tenets of a particular person is known by the tenets of that person, especially when Nobody in Islam previously knew anything about them, of all of the ulama. So they were termed Wahhabis. Ahmad Asawi, one of the greatest Maliki ulama, in his tafsir of the Quran, he says, these are the Khawarij of our time. Khawarij were a group of people, Kharaju. Kharaja ala, in Arabic, it means to revolt against. They made takfir of Ali ibn Abi Talib on the basis of their understanding of some ayahs of the Quran. Why? Because he agreed to arbitration, and the fitan broke out between some of the Sahaba. He agreed to have an arbitrator. He said, why don't you judge by the book of Allah? This is proof that you don't judge by the book of Allah. This is ulaika hum kafirun. This is a kafir, so you're a kafir. And so they made takfir of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Greatest of the prophets of Allah, who said them, he attested. He says, I'll give the standard tomorrow, Khaybar, he attested, he says, to somebody who loves Allah and is the messenger and who Allah loves and Allah's messenger loves. Ali ibn Abi Talib, one of the greatest of the awliya. He said, the greatest, we'd hardly be any exaggeration. So they made takfir of him, they said, kafir, and they fought him with everything they could muster. And they had a great deal of ikhlas. And they spent their energy trying to kill Ali and the people around him. And the Prophet ﷺ had predicted them. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim from Umar ibn Khattab, he said, "Man kharaja ala ummati, whoever kharaja," and these were the Khawarij, he says, "whoever fights, yadribu barraha wa fajiraha, who smites the good and smites the wicked of them, I indiscriminate killing. Wulayatahasha means miniha, and he doesn't consider it an enormity lest he kill the believer of this ummah." How many people were killed? Istanbul recently, how many people were killed in Riyadh? How many people killed in London? The mu'mineen. Wulayafi bi the ahdiha, and whoever does not keep the covenant of my ummah, is not faithful to those to whom my ummah has given a covenant. And we will return to this point in a minute, because it's essential to understanding the so-called jihad that we're talking about. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُ, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not of me and I'm not of him. This is what the Prophet said about such people. Wahhabis didn't care about that because they were fighting kafirs. You said, La ilaha illallah, no problem. Dead. Unless you subscribe to the tenets of our Shaykh, Ahmad ibn Abdul Wahhab. If you don't make takfir of your parents and of their parents for saying that tawassul is okay, and after all of the ulama of all four madhabs have said it was okay, you're dead. And your wife is our property. They took the wives of the people in the Hijaz in Saudi Arabia, who were mu'mineen, muslimin, took them prisoner and made them concubines after killing their husbands. Said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. They took over Mecca and Medina from 1808 to 1812. Stopped the Hajj coming from Syria. Stopped the Hajj coming from Egypt for 6 years. Until the Ottoman Caliph says enough is enough, and he sent an army to extirpate him. And they proved superior fighters to the army that was sent. They killed them. And then Muhammad Ali Pasha, the Ottoman representative or governor of Egypt, sent his son. And so Ibrahim ibn Muhammad Ali Pasha fought them and extirpated them. Brought them, the leaders back alive, and they were executed. Had their heads put on spikes outside of Istanbul by the Caliph for the fitna that they had caused. They slaughtered the ulama in Ta'if. And so they were quiescent. What happened in the meantime?